Full fathom 4, or views of a measurement boat. To slay the whole cast our purpose must be. I find in the actors such cause for dismay that the hero I chose will inevitably see on the day of the judge no judge of the day. Othello or Hamlet, what matter it now? Copernicus sat at the organ. He purposed a play, yet only knew how to sing of the Zola or Gorgon. They hardly envisaged financial reward. Bankruptcy will surely ensue. But the money flowed in with a pleasant accord, a terrible hullabaloo. So rich they became that they hastily drank the rum they'd been saving for D-Day. The vapour was noxious, so fetid and rank they rushed out and boked in the B-Day. So sickened were they, their behaviour became the model our children avoid, by casting their legs in the manner self-same and gluing their kneecaps with croyd. The play was forgotten as chaos broke out. Our bodies were broken by bandits. The only technician, he, bulbous and stout, defended the case of the pundits. The judgment was right, I loudly uphold, and shouted in statements of 8. The success was assured if we were but told we started and finished too late. Medieval monks may throng your halls and sup your sumptuous feasts, and eastern kings may pay you calls, or Turkish dukes their dues reclaim. I know more wests than you know easts, and treat you thus with the greater disdain, though friends are many among us amain, treat only their allies with the wildest acclaim. Your spies may hang from curtain rails, and treat your worries lightly, like feather beds reduced in sails, or lightweight coats in herringbone that hide the skirting board unsightly. Scarcely seen's the wood obscured by loam. I scarcely mean the wood in this our home, now grown so ill to all our sins atone. The pelmet groans beneath your weight, your evil conscience plagues you. The new edition will be late, though better than the former one, revised, reset, and up to date too, presented like a family album. Gib mir 18 und ein halbem, inscribed with the name Agamemnon. Au revoir. Your name is embossed on my curtains, your head we will set in the ceiling, my safes will be filled with your certains, to your effigy we will be kneeling, sarcastic refrains we shall sing, saleable gifts we shall bring. The autumn mists were freezing mists, the welder wends him where he lists, the welder lists where men may find a beaver's quill in silk reclined. No one can get there by candlelight, only the rich from the East German bight, only the poor who assaulted our sight, or the monks who uprooted our night. When winter nights grow long and cold, the boilermaker starts to scold. The boilermaker's suit is thin, in silk he covers not his skin. As well as this, his woe to increase, he lives on cats and candle grease. The digestive process shortly will cease, he'll need all his power to obtain our release. And when from jail we one day spring, with 18 voices we will sing, in simple tones, in harmony, which well express our eulogy. Silken opossums and beavers of lace, men in white stockings that cover the face, anything pleasant our concert shall grace, anything fitting and not out of place. Some are blessed with a patent imbiber, when drunk tell the welder to bribe her, so honest, so stolid, so handsomely clad, I cannot believe he could ever be bad. Acrid and nasty, the tone was portentous, prepare for a statement abrupt and tremendous, prepare for explosions horrendous, prepare for our breaking, then mend us. Sigismund, refurbished, assaulted his crew on grounds of divorce and desertion. The crew, in reply, their own wealth to pursue, announce a financial exertion. Their plan comprehensive is speedily made, equipment is rented or bought, and the speed of their action so subtly played is speed of a singular sort. A bevy of boatmen's a sight to behold, the towpath was lined with deserters. Their feet were so cold, Sigismund was told, they threatened to kill us or hurt us. But be not dismayed, he hastily bellowed. Arbuthnot, the echoes replied. I think of my mother, his voice now was mellowed, I feel like my mother inside. His speech was received with a minimal glee by most of his friends and his family. Their arms were linked and their neighbouring boats foundered, so great was their cargo of oats. The swell it swelled, the waves did wave, Sigismund viewed the fray. As the water flooded the outer cave, the bevy of boatmen whom no one could save, the wealthiest king, the lowliest slave, drowned in a manner that no one would crave, and Sigismund was lost in awful dismay. Let us pray.